following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Of course, you see it on the news. You're paying attention. We've talked about this for years. And then we're going to build a wall. And then we're going to shut down the border and the immigration crisis. And then you've got Kamala Harris, who finally goes because Donald Trump's there today with Sean Hannity and a whole entourage of people down on the southern border. And so we think about the political cost and we think about what's happening to our nation and then people coming in over the border, let alone sex trafficking, just trafficking of human beings in general. You've got opiates and all the other garbage coming across the border, chaos down there. Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Republicans, Democrats. But rarely do we kind of get our own personal glimpse. Most of us have never gone down there. Most of us never will. But some people do. And sometimes those stories start in another country altogether, where just a move of the Lord, and you don't think you're going to end up in one arena. You start in another one, and then God just kind of pulls you into a different thing. I can certainly relate to that myself. But today, a new friend, Misty Hedspeth, is in the studio with me. HeartsCryChildren.com, which is just a part of this story. But there's a lot to talk about for her and her husband and their family and what the Lord has called them to, which involves the southern border and all the way down to Panama and what's been going on up and down this part of the world and the real human toll that it's taken. And then the big question, of course, for all of us is, well, what do I do about that? So we'll talk about that today as well. Misty, how are you? Thanks for coming. What's going on?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And so I want people to understand your own personal journey first, you and your husband, and kind of how you got into that. Then we're going to, because you're a storehouse of knowledge at this point and all the study and all the work you've done, it helps that you're a lawyer as well. But we're going to get into all the nuts and bolts and all the dirty details. But how did you end up in this arena in the first place? Because I know we go all the way back to 2008.
Right. So in 2008, I was an attorney in Raleigh, North Carolina, practicing family law, and my husband was a developer. We were doing well financially. We were living the Christian American dream.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt the Lord calling me to start a family, and I realized I wasn't going to be able to have my law firm grow and have a family the way I wanted to. So I started phasing back my law firm, and during that time I was helping a local adoption agency pro bono to get accredited under the Hague to do international adoptions. And throughout that process, I was able to help them get accredited, and at the end of it, we still didn't have a child. So through a lot of prayer, we decided to seek some medical help to get children. However, the Lord stopped us from that and just made it super clear that he didn't want us to go down that road. He wanted us to go down to the adoption road. And through a lot of prayer, we ended up landing on, hey, let's adopt in Panama. We had already always gone down there to Central America to vacation and things like that. Just loved it. Growing up, I traveled a lot with my father. I had been to Haiti on mission trips. Wow. I've been around the world and traveled a lot. So it was nothing to jump on a plane and go and do that. And so we did. We went down to Panama and we turned in our dossier and we realized, wait a minute, there's a massive problem in this country. Kids are not getting out of orphanages. They are growing up in the orphanages. Panama was scared of turning into what at that time was a Guatemala scenario, where Guatemala had gotten caught for child buying that year. And a lot of countries had shut down their international adoption programs during that time because of it. And so through some connections, we're friends with Ann Graham Lotz, and her ministry had just been down there to do a big women's revival in the country. She knew the first lady of the country, and she connected us. At the end of that week, the first lady had invited us to come and actually assist with the process in the country. So,
and what was your... But you had been down there before, but now you're down there with kind of a different purpose. Before it's R&R, now it's, hey, this is adoption, and now you've got children in this scenario, and now you're... Would you say that's the first time kind of your eyes were really open to that scenario, that situation?
It was the first time my eyes were open that God was calling me to get directly involved with it. I had helped on the periphery in different ways, but this was the first time through our local church here. Actually, the Lord used the people to speak into our lives and help us realize the calling God had on us. Yeah. And they encouraged us to go. And they actually, our home church sent us, the Southbridge Fellowship, mm-hmm. is where we attended.
Yeah, Scott Laird.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so we ended up realizing it. Scott helped us name the ministry, Hearts Cry Children's Ministry, in fact. And so we ended up going, and within 6 months, we had sold everything we owned in Raleigh, jumped on a plane, and were gone.
How many people thought you were crazy?
Pretty much everyone.
Yeah. Did you guys think you were crazy?
Yes, absolutely.
We don't know what you're doing here, Lord.
No, we were just taking one step at a time and obeying him. And we had dear friends at the time that were had been training for years and years and years to go to Africa on the mission field. And they were actually the big ones that spoke into our lives. Mm-hmm. And they said, you know, what is it going to take for you to realize God's calling you to do this? And I'm like, but I haven't been to years of schooling for mission, you know, to be a missionary like you. And they said, yeah, but God's calling. You got to go. So we did.
Yeah, tell that to all the various missionaries from the last 2,000 years that just answered a call because God called them. And if he calls you, he's going to equip you. And actually, in many cases, the lack of a quote-unquote formal missionary, formal theological education can actually be more effective. Mm-hmm. Not that that's bad. I mean, I have one myself. But oftentimes, that can get in the way. And so it's just a matter of being obedient to what God calls you to do and then watch what he's going to do. So when you went down there, what was the plan?
The plan was, 2 months, this is all going to be fixed. We'll maybe at the most 2 years, and we'll be done. We just, we've lived there 11 years, and we just moved back right before the pandemic, and the problem is definitely not solved.
Yeah, so when you're down there, so it sounds like it, did it kind of start more locally, here's what's going on in Panama, and then all of a sudden it kind of traces back home to the U.S.? Is that kind of the progression?
Well, so we ended up working in Panama, and through a move of God and a miracle, I was able to work with the government to help them rewrite the adoption, the foster care system in the country. We started our own adoption and foster care agency there that we do for free to nationals who want to adopt, first time ever in the country. And then we realized there was a huge problem with special needs orphans, and they were not going to make it out of the system. So we felt God calling us to start a special needs orphanage. And we provide daily therapy and care to 18 special needs kids right now. We're going to build up to 55 is the plan. But that is what we've done for 11, 12 years in Panama.
Yeah.
Just recently, there's a new development brewing that we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, because we'll look at that when you're kind of dealing just with what's going on in Panama and all obviously worthy causes. But there's this magnet up north called the United States of America where people from all over the world want in. You know, especially it's interesting, people of color want in, even though apparently we're the most racist nation on the planet. You still have people that are not white wanting to come here. But what do you do about that? What's the problem? What's this chain that goes all the way back down through Central America to South America? And what possibly could any of us do about that? Well, if God calls, he equips, and then there's things to do, and we're going to find out about that. We'll be right back. Moving to Panama. That might seem crazy. Of course, Misty Hedspeth and her husband did that, moved down to Panama. That was 2008, really just going down to originally explore adoption. And then you see this need, and you see these problems all over the place, and ended up, God just replanted you down there and getting into adoption ministry and trying to help the country with all of that. But at what point did America, because you guys left America, I mean, you still have family here and you come back once or twice a year, but at what point did the situation in America kind of get on your radar screen in terms of people that were ministering in Panama?
Well, we came back right before the pandemic on furlough, what we thought was going to be a year, and then the pandemic hit, and praise God we were here because the country of Panama went into what I call a military lockdown. Yeah. What we went through here was nothing compared to what they went through. It was horrific, getting supplies to our orphanage, getting staff to our orphanage. If you went out of your house, children couldn't go out of their door frame of their apartments for like months on end. It was really bad. I don't think our family would have been able to get through it down there. I have one child with severe special needs, and he has to be outside all the time. And he couldn't have been. I don't know what we would have done down there. But praise God, we were here, and we were able to run the ministry from here. We have an amazing staff and team on the ground in Panama, and they kept going. So I was up here.
Now, is that all the information for the ministry in Panama? Is that at Hearts Cry Children's Ministry?
That's right, heartscrychildren.com.
So if that particular aspect of this conversation is tugging on you, heartscrychildren.com is the website. All right, I tell you, if you've listened to the show for any period of time, you know what I'm about to say. And I'm not here to be your best buddy. With knowledge comes responsibility. So when you hear about something And then you know it's something that's worthy of your attention. And you have a little tug in your heart. I think it's safe to assume perhaps the Lord is directing you in that direction. And now, and there's a lot of things that as soon as they get on their radar screen, Misty, you know this. As a Christian, I shouldn't have to pray about obedience. Just obey.
Right.
So you go, okay, that sounds like a worthy cause. Okay, well, there you go. There's your call to action. Go do something about it. And then sometimes God will open a bigger door or you'll feel a bigger pull and it won't leave you alone. And then that's where you go, okay, I'm gonna invest there in more ways than just one. But if you want to check out more about that aspect of this story, heartscrychildren.com is the website, heartscrychildren.com. Sorry, keep going.
So we were finally, they had closed the airport completely in the country. You couldn't get in. Mm-hmm. So we were finally able to go back the beginning of this year. And my husband went back the very end of last year. And then we both went back the beginning of this year because we were going to check on everything. Our house was there. We still had two dogs there, you know. So we went back to check on everything. And while I was there checking on the orphanage, we were able to work with the government on some new laws related to children's rights, and actually made it to the presidential palace during that trip, wow. Believe it or not, in the country. The Lord just opens amazing doors, and I'm just walking through them. and at the end of that trip, I had met with several people who were involved with a migration problem in Panama. Now, there's always been a migration issue going through the country, but nothing like what is going on right now.
Yeah.
So I knew friends who were missionaries who had been working with the migrants throughout the years. But what has happened since the beginning of this year is truly nothing that I could have ever imagined in my entire life. And it's something that I couldn't sleep once I started learning about it. I could not get it off my mind. I started researching it, looking into it, trying to figure out how to help. And so what I started realizing is that the illegals, the migrants are coming through the country of Panama at record numbers like nothing we have ever seen before. There was the Panama's Minister of Foreign Affairs just last month wrote an article where she said there's literally 1,000 people coming from Colombia up into Panama a day headed to the U.S. Just think of that.
Do your math, Common Core, right. Or not. That, you know, we're talking about 365,000 people in 1 year.
And that's the ones she knows about.
Right. That's the ones that they can count.
And this is also keeping in mind the fact that Panama closed the border with Colombia so that no one's legally coming back and forth right now. So it's all coming through this area called the Darien Gap. In Raleigh, we would say Darien.
Yeah, probably.
And in Spanish, it's the Darien Gap. And so it's this area between Colombia and the U.S. that is, there's no roads that go through it. There's actually an Inter-American highway that goes from the tip of Argentina up to Alaska, but there's this gap in the middle of it, and it's called the Darien Gap. And they specifically made it that way because they didn't want a lot of the insects or whatever coming from South America heading up north. And so they have kept that as an unpaved, total jungle area. And it's very, very treacherous. To make it through there is deadly.
And so everybody, just a little geography reminder. I looked this up while you were talking because I'm like, Panama Canal. So, you know, you got South America, then you have Panama, right? This little strip of land. Then you got Nicaragua, Honduras, Guatemala, up to Mexico, and then the border. So literally, to go from South America to America, you have to go through Panama.
There's no other way
to do it.
Right. So what is happening are people are coming from the Middle East, Asia, North Africa, yeah. Haiti, Cuba, Somalia, Bangladesh, a lot of these countries. And they're going into countries that have very little visa requirements, such as Ecuador. And then they're coming up to Colombia. And then they're going through the Darien Gap. And then they're coming through Panama. If they live through the Darien Gap, because 10%, one journalist I spoke with said 10% of people are dying on that trail that go through there. And so that was happening starting, you know, January, February of this year. And then what really got me was around that time, they started noticing an increase in children and pregnant women that were going through there and dying. And so I was trying to figure out, why is that happening? And so what I learned was that word had gotten down from the border that if you are pregnant or if you have a child with you, an unaccompanied minor, then you're going to get through easier.
Bada bing, bada boom.
So everybody has gotten the word out back home, wherever they're from. If you have a kid with you, you're going to get through.
That's the Willy Wonka golden ticket.
It's your golden ticket. Now, keep in mind the trauma these children are going through. I mean, they're making it through one of the deadliest areas to get through.
Well, you just look at the map and look at the sheer mileage involved.
Right.
And literally walking through
walking.
That.
Right.
I look at it and go, I could never do that in a million years. But then I'm sitting here fat and happy as an American. These are people that are, many of them are legitimately desperate.
Yeah.
Right? Because you have to kind of unpack who's coming and why.
Right.
Now, if we're going to open our borders to everybody in the world that's suffering economic injustice, you just opened your borders to the entire world for the most part.
And what country has survived that?
Right.
When you allow that number of people in, you can't.
Then it's the whole ship goes down and nobody survives.
Exactly. Exactly.
Are we tying this to a change in administration?
I hate to admit it, but absolutely. This started the minute the election happened. It was like what I have talked to journalists have said, it's like a starting gun went off in the home country the minute that the elections were solidified.
And that's where, you know, people talk about, hey, the Democrat Party liberals, they care about the small guy, right? Yada, yada, yada. No, they care about the small guy insofar as the small guy allows them to maintain power to exercise power or to increase their power. So even without them saying a whole lot, just switching from Trump, super strong on the border, probably the strongest ever, to Biden is the starting gun.
Exactly.
And the big flag that says, we're open for business, come on up. So again, this is the ramifications. It's not dissimilar from abortion. I don't have a problem making that leap. Where they're going, okay, here's the right. We want to help people, allegedly. Come on up, because they know they're going to be voters. And then they set the trap. They put the cheese on the trap, knowing it's a trap, knowing that moms and unborn children and children are going to be abused, sold, used, et cetera, and start flooding up there because we just set the trap simply by changing from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. And everybody knew it. So now what do you do? Sorry, I just was going off there on a tangent. We're talking to Misty Hedspeth. By the way, Hearts Cry Children is the ministry, heartscrychildren.com. What's going on down in Panama? What is actually happening? And ultimately, what can we do about it? We're going to keep talking to Misty when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, spending some time today with Misty Hedspeth. She and her husband moved to Panama back in 2008, originally just dealing with an adoption issue and wanting to adopt themselves. And then God just opened several doors to deal with that issue and others there in Panama. But especially over the last year when you moved back here a little over a year ago, right before COVID hit. And then to see with the change from the Trump administration to the Biden administration, the floodgates are thrown open. As you said earlier, I think that's a great a phrase to use, is the starter gun. They set off the starter gun, and now all these people all the way from South America, all the way up through Panama and the Darien Gap, as you were mentioning, 60 miles. This is from some notes she sent me. 60 miles of treacherous jungle, only sectioned through North and South America without any roads connecting, thus the only break in the Pan-American Highway from the tip of Argentina to Alaska. And who controls the Darien Gap? Drug traffickers and criminals. And who's the toy in all of this? People, and especially children. So let's talk about what's going on in terms of child trafficking and sex trafficking and that nightmare, because this is all increased as well, simply because we moved from a Trump administration to a Biden administration. I mean, that's the political reality on the ground here, is that was the starter gun, like you said.
Well, I think a lot of what's happening is that the children are being used as a golden ticket. Again, the adults are being told, if you have a kid, whenever you reach the border at Texas, at Mexico and Texas border, then you'll make it through. So then the people are innocently trying to get some kids from back home, maybe their nephew, who knows who it is, to come with them. Some are not innocent. Make any differentiation about it.
With 1,000 people a day making that trek.
Yes.
Not all 1,000 of them are just poor looking for.
No, absolutely not. But some actually are. And then their families are pulling together $3,500. So they believe that's what it's going to take to get up here. And then meanwhile, they encounter the drug cartel in the border of Panama and Colombia. And what happens is if you're a woman, you're going to get raped whenever you go through there. Every single person gets robbed. And they come out of the other side. They literally look like they've been through a war zone.
Yeah.
Their feet are just it's horrendous the way they look once they make it out. And once they make it out, then the question is, who are these people? And we've been working, God did a miracle, and the person who's in charge of the children in the country of Panama, it's equivalent of social services in the country, mm-hmm. she actually worked for our ministry for 10 years. Wow. She was an attorney under me directly, and now she's the head of the entire children's department of the of the country.
Thank you, Lord.
And so I've been working with her, and she is working every single day to try and help this problem, because who are these children? Are they related to the people that they're coming across with? Like, what exactly is going on? And so we're actually, I have a friend who has an orphanage in Panama. They've had to open up another wing in their orphanage to try and take in these yeah. kids that are coming across, and they don't have any documentation. We don't know who they're
yeah,
with.
Yeah, you don't have a clue.
Who are they? And these are only the ones that she's finding out about. Tons are making it through sure. without her finding out about them. And so I'm trying to assist however I can in order to connect people with her, to give her the resources she needs to help this massively growing crisis in the country. Now, keep in mind also, we moved down there in 2008 to help with the orphan crisis. There's still an orphan crisis
right,
there.
Right.
Now we're having another orphan crisis to throw on top of it. So you have a very taxed, very poorly working government system of social services that now has this massive migration problem on top of it. What are you supposed to do with that?
But didn't you get the memo, Misty, that Kamala went down to Guatemala recently and we're going to send them $4 billion and everything's going to be fine?
I would like to propose that she did not go down far enough. She should have gone down to Panama
yeah.
to the border crisis there. And furthermore, the $4 billion that is being spent in Guatemala, I have no idea what that's going to help.
Oh. Well, the Guatemala officials will take the money and do whatever
exactly.
they want to with it. It's just a
show. I imagine.
It's just a scam. It's
I
a
imagine.
Joke.
So it was very, very upsetting to hear her speech the other day in Guatemala and then in Mexico and then in Texas. It was just so disappointing.
And she wasn't going to go anywhere where the backdrop was bad.
Right.
Meaning, i.e. real.
Right.
She was just going to go to sanitized situations. So it doesn't look so bad. It's just a photo op. That's all it was. And probably a lot of pressure because Trump's there today. I asked you this question off the air, but it must be quite maddening and maybe even disillusioning to watch how the mainstream media covers this. But
extremely.
I know you have found a few journalists that are actually.
Yes. In fact, there's two journalists in particular. One is Michael Yon, Y-O-N, and he's on michaelyon.locals.com, as well as Chuck Holton. H-O-L-T-O-N. He's in the Hot Zone, I think is the name of his podcast that he does. And they are both war combat journalists that have embedded themselves mm-hmm. in the region, and they've been following it. They've gone from the Colombia side to the Panama side, you know, up all the way to Mexico and such. And they are really on the hunt on this story, and I would encourage everyone to follow them in order to get the true story behind it, because they are very good at figuring out what's going on. And again, I'm keeping in touch with it from the side of the journalists, as well as my missionary friends that are on the ground,
yeah.
as well as now Graciela Mawad, who's the head of the children's rights in the country. And so it's just interesting to see. I believe God is really orchestrating some exciting things to take care of these kids that are coming into that region. It was also exciting to me to see how two congressmen went down to Panama.
Yeah, you mentioned them. So who was that?
Uh-huh. So Tom Tiffany was the one that I got in touch with before he went down. And
where's he from?
He is from Wisconsin, okay. and he has a great website if you ever want to follow him as well at tiffany.house.gov. And he does a lot of newsletters that keeps track of these types of issues. But he went down personally mm-hmm. with a friend of mine who helped take them in and protect him while he went down there. And they were actually able to witness for themselves the horrific situation going on with the people coming out almost dying in the Darien Gap with, 300 people a day are coming into this one little tiny indigenous village. They're just being overrun with the migrants
yeah, yeah.
constantly. And they were able to witness that and get them actually some people, some medical help that needed it. And it's just exciting to me to see that some people are actually taking some skin in this and
yeah.
actually going down to try and get involved and stop it.
Because if all you do is go to our southern border, that's really the end of the road. That's like going to New Orleans and thinking you understand the Mississippi River.
Right.
You're not. You're just at right. the bottom of it. You got to go all the way
you
to the headwaters.
You got a long way to go.
And the headwaters goes all the way down through mm-hmm. Central America, Panama, down into South America.
Correct.
So this is overwhelming.
Yeah.
Right? It is. And so you got all these different countries. So every country has a role to play because they're all moving up through those countries, coming their own people come leaving that country trying to get here. Then all the people coming from south of those countries trying to get here. And so where do you begin to look in terms of how do you engage? Because I could use the stupid old adage of how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time, of course. But how do we approach this as people of faith, as Christians, as Americans? It's literally is overwhelming.
Well, I had that thought. Whenever I started looking into it, I'm like, Lord, what can I do? Because this is such a massive problem. And it's affecting all these children and these pregnant women. I mean, the stories of the babies washing down the river and the pregnant women lying in the ground just dying and no one stopping to help them because the journey is so treacherous to get through there. It was just too much for me to even take. And I just kept praying and praying. And the Lord really has shown me over the years of my working with children in these terrible type situations that, you know, this is one of the closest things to His heart. These children is that's what He cares about so much. And so whenever we care, we're close to His heart and we're feeling His heartbeat and He's going to show us what to do. For me, it was just getting involved in connecting these different people as best as I could. For you, it might be getting involved with your local human trafficking organization that's right down the road. What really hit me that Tom Tiffany said in one of his articles that he wrote and after he went to Panama was it was actually after he went to the border of Texas, was that every single border is now every single state in the United States is now a border state. It used to be only Texas. You know, every single city is now a border city. We are not immune to this. We've heard the stories about the planes leaving Texas in the middle of the night and landing in Tennessee and in these other places. They are trying to get these kids out as quick as possible so that the news media can't really see the vast numbers that are going on. You know, it was I think it was a month ago. They said 180,000 came through the border in 1 month. I mean, what are we even talking about?
Yeah, you can't even fathom those numbers.
These numbers are so insane. And so, you know, I called my friend who has the adoption agency, and I'm like, hey, have you seen an increase in foster care cases? Like, where are these kids going? What are we doing?
No kidding.
How can we get involved? I still don't have an answer to that. I'm still investigating it. But something's going on, and we all need to put our, you know, our antennas up, and we got to get involved for sure. But most importantly is we have to pray because – whoever you voted for, I could care less. You know, whoever you voted for, the reality is that this is a problem that is because of the foreign policy of the current president of the United States, and his current policy is failing.
That's right. Yeah. And so you have to engage. You have to hold people's feet to the fire, which we love to do. And you can do that from afar and you can complain and you can throw things at your TV or shut your laptop or whatever. But there's other ways to engage as well, down on the level where you can actually ignore what's going on at the government level and engage on a local level. Maybe in your locality, maybe it's as far away as Panama. We're going to keep talking to Misty when we come back right after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. Good to be with you today. Such an important topic and one that requires not only our prayers, but to ask the simple question, what can I do? It's such an enormous problem as we look at what's going on in the southern border. And then as Misty Hedspeth was just saying on the break here on Facebook Live, it really is a trail of tears. And that trail of tears goes down through Mexico, down through Central America, over Panama, down into South America. And we're talking 1,000 people per day at least. Most of whom, you've got all kinds of moms, you got pregnant women, you have kids that are just drug along because they become the Willy Wonka golden ticket. And so these nightmares are happening all up and down this trail of tears from our southern border and now in our various states and our various cities where they're flying people around at night. And that's going to have ramifications on our nation. But we need to think a little bit more outside of just ourselves and look at what's happening to these people that are being used and abused all down this trail of tears. And the one thing that the entire trail has in common, Misty, you were just saying this, and thanks for being here again, was the cartel.
Exactly.
None of this. The cartel touches all of this. Is that an extreme statement, hyperbole, or is that accurate?
No. From what I have discovered from talking to the journalists and different agents that have gone gotten to be a part of this is that you cannot make it through this trail without getting involved with the drug cartel because they own this area. Whether it's in Panama or up higher in Central America, you're going to hit somebody along the way that you have to somehow pay off. Only the problem is you've already gotten robbed
right.
in the Darien Gap. So all your money's gone. So what do you have to offer then? Either you get someone, a family member, to wire you money at a Western Union along the way, or you use what you have, which is your body or the body of someone who came with you.
Yeah.
And so for men, they carry drugs across. That's how they get used. And if you have a woman with you, you're going to get raped, or a young child, just depends on whatever the person wants that's with you. And the stories of the rape and the robbery through the Darien Gap, you know, literally there's hardly a woman that comes out of there that hasn't been in some way abused. And everyone has been raped, and the babies washing down the rivers. You know, there's horrible storms that pop up and then it's flooded immediately and the kids are gone. But those that make it through, then they're used as a commodity because humans can be used over and over again.
Right.
Drugs are only used one time and humans can be repeatedly abused.
Wow.
And so these children are going to be used if the person has run out of money. And so it, you know, truly what has gone on, and what I was saying is that this should not be a left or a right wing issue.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
should be a humanitarian crisis issue, because that's truly what it is. And we should be working together, and everyone in the United States should care that our policy has meant children are being abused around the world, specifically along what I call the Trail of Tears, through Panama up to the United States. And so I just would really ask people to get involved, however you can, but also pray. It keeps me up at night knowing these kids are dying in the jungle, and knowing that people are being hurt, thinking that they're coming for a better life.
Yeah.
And they're never making it there. So it's the ones that actually do make it up. Some of them have been so hardened by the time they get up here. We don't know what kind of people we're getting.
Right. Yeah.
And we don't know what promises they've made to get into the country. Because in order to get through, what did they have to sell or give up or promise in order to get here? And these aren't the type of people you would necessarily want living right beside you.
Well, you mentioned a phrase that if you study scripture enough, you'll find it in there. If you study U.S. history enough, especially early U.S. history, you'll find it there all around the world, is indentured servitude.
Right.
So talk about that for
Yeah.
For
so what I've learned is that some of, you know, unaccompanied minors, you hear that term and you hear that the border police are letting them through. So that's anyone under the age of 18. And so a lot of these teenage boys are 16, 17-year-old coming through. The people that I work with in Panama said that they a lot of these young men that made it through the Darien Gap, they kept saying, I'm a teenager, you have to take care of me. So then she would have to take him and put him in an orphanage, only come to find out they were 19, 20-year-olds.
Wow.
They were just wanting to get in and get a night's sleep and food for the
sure,
night and then
sure.
go on their journey and run off the next day. And so, you know, are they, first of all, really 16 and 17? But let's say that they are. Well, then we're taking them in and we're going to watch out for them for a year or whatever until they turn 18. And then from what I've heard, they have promised the cartel, in order to make it through, that they are, once they turn 18, that they're indentured servitude. So they're going to be involved in gangs or, you know, moving drugs or watching so that they can get more people smuggled through.
Right.
Somehow they're going to get involved because they owe somebody something to get it here.
Yeah, and if you don't pay the debt, we just kill you.
They kill you or your family. You know.
Both, probably.
So this is the threat that makes them work for the people that help them get across the border. And so, again, we have to be so careful how we help people. You know, there's that old book, When Helping Hurts, or whatever.
Yeah, Ficker.
People used to come down to our orphanage and throw that book at me, and I was just like, you know, I know what you're saying.
Yeah, like,
but
yeah,
this
yeah, yeah.
truly is one of those situations where, like, we really have to be careful who we're helping, because sometimes when we help people, it can hurt
yeah.
us
oh,
as
yeah.
a society.
Sure. And that's something I don't want to – we shouldn't shy away from that, should we?
No.
Because there are negative impacts as we allow more and more people into this country, and I understand the heartfelt side of it, and we want to extend – hospitality as much as we can. There is a legal process. It needs
this
work.
But this is my whole point. There is a legal way to get into this
yeah.
country. I lived right down the road from the U.S. Embassy for years and years. I saw every single day lines out the door, all the way out the street, of people trying to get into the U.S. from Panama, who was, you know, it's a developing country,
yeah.
but it was pretty stable. this is every single country all over the place. Mm-hmm. Everyone would love to live the American dream.
Sure.
The numbers that want to come here are more than you and I can imagine. It's beyond what people want to admit. And we have to think that something has to be done. We have to close our border and we have to make this a legal process where every single file can be looked at. We can make sure they're safe people. They're going to come across the border. They haven't promised someone something horrible in order to get here. You know, they're not going to commit acts of criminal acts or acts of terror in order to get in our country. And so these are things that we really have to revisit who we vote for.
Sure.
And then hold those politicians accountable. We have to do the same thing with our local police. We have to do the same thing with our local judges and prosecutors. And there's a lot of things that we need to do to make sure that we stay safe here. This is truly the land of the free. And living here is so easy. I mean, you asked me earlier, what is it like? You know, living down there, it is so hard to live in another country. I think everyone should have to live abroad for a year.
Just so you get your compass
and then
see
how you're going to vote.
Right.
And see how you're going to act in this society. It's a shame that people haven't done that because they'd be way more appreciative when they were here. And they wouldn't do things like burn the American flag. I knew when I left the U.S. every time and I would land in Panama, I was leaving my rights,
mm-hmm.
all my individual rights
all
in the
freedom.
United States, all my freedom, and I was going to another country, but I had God, and he would protect me every single step of the way, and that's the only way I made it through. But I knew that there was no one down there that would protect my individual rights.
Right.
I had no rights.
Right.
I was nobody, right? And so, and I also knew the police would never protect me down there. There was nothing down there that was going to help me other than God Almighty, and he did. He protected our whole family, and he saved us from a lot of things.
Yeah, sure.
But truly, it's a shame what has been happening in this country. And I hope and I pray that people get more involved and they start to work with the police department and they start to they need to understand that the way to protect our entire society is to make sure our police are funded properly and that they're trained properly.
Yeah.
And that's the best way. I know in Panama there was many years where there was no one. The police were very untrained, and a new president got in and he started training them and paying them a little more, and they were amazing.
Yeah.
Suddenly I could trust them for the first time
starts
in years. And here I see us wanting to revert backwards,
yeah.
and I'm like, come on. I already lived through that. I don't want to live through that
right,
again.
Right, no kidding. Yeah, we don't God bless Panama. We want to help them, but you don't want America to be Panama.
Mm-hmm.
You want Panama to become more like America, except in the direction
the better ways.
No, maybe not. Right. Any organizations you can point us to that would be a good place to start? Obviously, we talked about the ministry that you and your husband started, heartscrychildren.com. Any others that are close to your heart that you know are effective?
I mean, I would say get involved with your local foster care and adoption programs here. There's Amazing Grace Adoptions. They do a great work in other places. But you know, this is an issue that we have got to repent as a nation, mm-hmm. and we've got to get on our knees and pray. And I believe the only way that this is going to change is if revival happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've just been praying for revival in our country. But in the meantime, I will tell anybody any day of the week anything I can about
the
this
story.
Issue.
And mm-hmm. I think that's the challenge for us. We tend to be American-centric in our thinking, which is not in and of itself bad, but it is incomplete. And so when we talk about all this, what's happening on the southern border and build the wall, open the wall, lacks, if at all, security down on the southern border and 150,000 a month, 200,000 a month coming into America, what that does to our infrastructure and our cost basis and all this other stuff. But I would challenge all of us to back up there and go, yeah, it's going to affect us a little bit, each person, not monumentally, but eventually it would. But think about that trail of tears, because listen, I don't know how bad it can get for me as an American at 55 years of age, but it ain't the Trail of Tears.
No.
And it ain't Panama, and it's not Nicaragua, and it's not the Darien Pass. So when you think of all the people that are being used and abused by the cartels, enabled by our own nation's politics or lack thereof, then our hearts should break more for them than it does for us. If my taxes go up, whoop-dee-doo. That doesn't cause a woman to be raped and a child to be raped and sold like a piece of meat. So we need to make sure we're not just thinking American, we're thinking about the whole picture, especially as followers of Christ. Misty, thanks so much for being here today. It's been very enlightening and challenging and encouraging all at the same time. And we'll definitely do it again, okay? Mi casa, su casa. So make sure you guys know that. And thank your husband for us as well. And God bless you guys, and we'll keep talking about this. I put links up on Facebook Live, by the way, to the two journalists that she mentioned, as well as Representative Tom Tiffany, just a few people that are actually speaking the truth. So there you go. Go find out for yourself and get engaged. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.